Good evening. That song that we just finished singing, I believe we sang that every day in the School of Preaching in the chapel for 2 years. We would sing several songs, but I don't remember ever omitting that song. So it's a beautiful, beautiful song. This evening, we're going to study from the book of Psalms. If you will read through the book, there are different authors. But David is the author of the majority of the Psalms. Haley, who wrote Haley's Handbook on the Bible, says that the Jews looked upon the book of Psalms as their favorite book. I'd never heard that, but I think you could understand that it is something that gives a lot of strength and encouragement and hope to people in trouble. And it's sort of like the book of Job. We need the Psalms, we need the book of Job, we need the entire Old Testament, or we wouldn't have it. God would have just destroyed it. In Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written before time are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we have to have it. We have to have patience. We need the comfort, and we need the hope. Psalm 62, a psalm of David, we've entitled the lesson, Trust in God at All Times. I notice several of the, what I would call, good Bible students, some of them maybe 200 years, some of them as much as 300 years ago, that they emphasize, and as they talked about this psalm, sort of the theme is waiting on God. And I wouldn't argue against that, but as I try to get a title that would fit the best, I would have to say, in my judgment, what we have is trust in God at all times. That's why you can wait on God. That's why you can be patient during trials, because you trust in God. You could say, have faith in God at all times. If you look up the definition, the English definition of faith, you cannot read an accurate definition without the word trust. So when you have faith in God, you have trust in God. And of course, all of us do have faith in God and do trust in God. But these songs are written to strengthen us, to encourage us. I mentioned this morning, I hoped you could come back and be encouraged. When I read a psalm like this, it is very, very comforting. And not only from the Scriptures do we conclude it, but just from experience, we know that we are blessed by reading the book of Psalms. In Psalm 62 and verse 1, I appreciate Brother Chuck putting this up for us in such large letters. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. That's a very first statement. I've never written a book, but I have read from others that write books, and I think it's pretty true, that the most important thing in writing a book is the first sentence. They emphasize, at least it is very important. How's that? The first sentence. This one, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. David was waiting for God's help. In my judgment, that's not always easy to do. Some of you have been sick for a long time. I never have been sick for a long time. Some in the Bible read about 12 years. In the New Testament, 38 years. That, to me, is quite a long time. And so it takes more, in my judgment, when you have these weaknesses and diseases and pains and troubles for a long period of time, But he says, I'm waiting on God. He was waiting on God because he believed God would help him. No matter how long it was, he was waiting on God. In Psalm 121 and verses 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We have a helper. I believe everybody here would say, we need a helper. The atheist, he doesn't need a helper. The atheist doesn't believe in a helper. He doesn't believe in God. All of that because of his pride. In Isaiah 26 and verses 3 and 4, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose heart or mind, his mind, is stayed on thee. The word stayed means fixed. So Isaiah says, God telling us that he will keep us in perfect peace if we fix our mind on him, because it says he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So it doesn't run out. Our strength runs out, does it not? We have a sister in Christ that most of us know. A few of you may not have known Sister Edna Norton. She is such a faithful sister in Christ and came for so many years until she just couldn't come. Right now, she's just a few blocks away, and she's dying. She's dying. And I don't know how long it's going to be. But here's someone that loved God, worshiped God, was faithful to God. And every time I talked with her for years and years, I'd say, Edna, how are you doing today? She'd always say the same thing. I'm hanging in there. She said it so often, I started walking up to her and say, how you doing, hanging? I called her hanging, because she's hanging in there. That's not a bad expression. So the Lord, he has everlasting strength. In Psalm 27, 13 and 14, this ideal of waiting on God was not a one-time prayer and a one-time statement in reference to David. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, I would have given up. I would have fainted. I would have quit. Sometimes you watch people on the television and they're running the marathon. And those of you that know anything about it, 26 miles. And everybody doesn't make it. Some grow faint and they grow weary. But David said, that's what would have happened to me, except I believed in God's goodness. Not just up in heaven, not just in the world to come, but now in the land of the living. The next verse, Psalm 27 and 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. You may have a weak body, but you can have a strong heart. Matter of fact, it would be my judgment from reading the Bible that the weaker you get, the stronger you should be spiritually and closer to God. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then he said in Psalm 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, maybe you're not like me, but there are times, especially, I think, a little bit more when I was younger. It's hard to be patient, isn't it? It's not real easy. Some people seem like they have a natural way about it, but it takes some effort to be patient and to wait on God. In Psalm 62 and 2, he only, I want you to remember that word, when you go back and read this psalm tonight or in the morning when you get up, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Well, you know, great troubles can move us greatly. David had great troubles. I know we have people here that are not well tonight, and you have great burdens. But David's life was constantly, throughout his life, You think when he got a little older, it would be all over with, and here comes his son Absalom. I don't know the circumstances of this. It would obviously, in all likelihood, apply to his younger years when Saul was persecuting him, trying to kill him, or to the time of Absalom. In my judgment, most of the psalms that he had like this, probably when he was younger, but this one, I would lean toward Absalom's rebellion. It was a difficult time, fleeing in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, having to go out and cross a Jordan River, all because his son, Absalom, was rebelling against him. In Psalm 31 and 24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." So we have to encourage ourselves. At one time, you remember in 1 Samuel that David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know how often we do that, but everything was against him, and he turned to God, and that's how that's done. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Now listen to this, "unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So we don't quit. Psalm 62 and 3, David turns to his enemies, to the wicked. And we still have these same people today. I believe you could see them on the television this week. You saw them on the television last week. "How long will ye imagine mischief against a man?" Mischief is people planning in an evil way to do evil things. This seems to be a powerful, powerful Hebrew word that evidently even includes the ideal of to try to take his life. "Mischief against a man. Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence." I doubt if there's anybody here tonight that has not seen a wall that was bowing or leaning, and it didn't look like it was going to last very long, right? And we've all been out, maybe in the city, but especially in the country, and you see these old fences, and they're leaning, and they're all half of the fence is gone. He says, "Well, that's a good description of the wicked, which means that they are going to fall. The wicked doesn't think he's going to fall, but the wicked is going to fall." In Psalm 10 and 4, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." A wicked man, he says, he tells you why he doesn't seek God. He's proud. He doesn't think he needs God. You know, pride is condemned in the Bible over and over again. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him." And the first thing there listed in the book of Proverbs is a proud look. So they don't trust in God. And I like the expression, "God's not in all his thoughts." God's in all the thoughts of the righteous. What day goes by that God is not in your thoughts? Surely when you go to bed at night, he's in your thoughts. Probably when you wake up at night, he's in your thoughts. Surely during the day, as you go about, he's in your thoughts. But not the wicked. In Psalm 31, verses 13 to 15, "For I have heard the slander of many." Slander is when you tell something that's not true. Slanders make their way sometimes in the church. "Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life." That's something that doesn't usually happen to us, but it could. He says in verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." This I have in yellow so it stands out. "My times are in thy hand." That's true today, is it not? Your times and my times are in the hand of God. He said, deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. So David trusted in God. He trusted in God even though he had these long trials. That's why he said, wait patiently on God and be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. In Psalm 62 and 4, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. And this one would be the verse that would especially remind me anyway of Absalom's rebellion. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. And that's what Absalom did. And David's friend Ahithophel, remember, David worshipped with Ahithophel. He was his close, he was his familiar friend. And they went to worship God together. I've not yet met a Bible student that at least didn't have the thought that in Psalm 55 and verse 21 that it had reference to Ahithophel. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. I like soft butter, don't you? We let our butter sit out. It's never gone bad. It's never gone bad. I mean, it might go bad somewhere, but it's never gone bad on us. I make a piece of toast. I like that butter to just smooth on there. Put that on there. It's the way words, smooth as butter, like oil. But in his heart was evil and war. That's a hypocrite. And Job said, what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gain, when God taketh away his soul? Job 27 and 8. Brings us to verse 5, Psalm 62 and 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I told you at the beginning to kind of keep track of this word, only. You look at that when you go back home and you read this over and study it. Waiting only upon God. God was the one that he waited on, because that's God's the one he prayed to. And God, he had an expectation from God. In Psalm 62 and 1, with the very first verse, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. So over and over, David said, I'm waiting on God. But that's for us. God knew the heart of a man, and he said, this person David, was a man after the Lord's own heart. Well, who doesn't want to be like that? Only God can help us in all of the trials and all of the troubles in life. We depend upon his goodness. We depend upon his mercy. We depend upon his providence, and we wait on God no matter what. Even at the time of death, we wait on God no matter what. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job 13 and 15. It's kind of all summarized, in my judgment, in a very commonly quoted verse that Paul gave us in Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what we just read about there in Paul, writing to the Corinthians, and being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Psalm 37 and 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth evil devices to pass. That's a hard thing to do, in my judgment. If you've ever had to deal with some evil and wicked people, you just have to trust God. Psalm 62 and verse 6. He says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Now in verse 2 he said, I shall not be greatly moved. But now in verse 6 he said, I'm not going to be moved. He wasn't going to move away from God. He was established. He had a firm foundation. He trusted in God because God is the one that created the heaven and the earth. Who else are you going to trust? Nobody else made the heaven and the earth except God. Looks like they'd be pretty dependable. In Psalm 55 and 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Then the next verse, Psalm 62 and 7. Listen to these words, or look at them better yet. In God is my salvation and my glory. The only boast he had was in God, not in himself. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. I want you to notice that it was personal with David. My salvation, my glory, my strength, and my refuge. If you go away from here and it's not personal, the lesson has never helped you. It has to apply to my. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. You probably heard this, but in reading this week, I don't know, I came across it in some book that I was reading. And it said that they announced that they were going to have a reading and people could come and read the 23rd Psalm. They said this man got up there and he was like an orator. And he got up there and everything was just as smooth and worded perfectly, had just the correct voice, enunciation. Everything was perfect and the people were astounded. He actually got applause. Then an old farmer got up there. He wasn't even good on his English. He read the 23rd Psalm and tears came down their eyes. Somebody said, what was the difference? And the answer was that the man that was an orator knew the psalm, but the farmer knew the shepherd. You have to make it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my strength. That's the kind of God that we serve. In Psalm 18, verses 1 to 3, David said, and this is that first verse again, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. You have about seven things there. You know, David's a soldier and he's using all these illustrations. You can't miss it. In verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. In Psalm 62 and verse 8, and here is a statement where we received our title tonight. Trust in Him at all times. To Him is God. That's why I call it trust in God. Trust in Him, trust in God at all times. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is, you trust in God. He says, ye people. So He's talking to us. Ye people, trust in God. Pour out your heart before Him. David had done that. God is a refuge for us, Selah. I'm certain that you have probably poured out your heart before God in some circumstance. If you haven't, you probably will. But don't ever hesitate to do that. David said in Psalm 86 and 7, in the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. I will affirm that God answers every single prayer of a righteous person. But like the prayer tonight that we heard, He answers them according to what's best and what's His will. I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. We had a young man. He was somewhat handicapped, but he led the singing for a congregation about 20 miles from us in Mississippi. He took sick just suddenly. They rushed him to the hospital in Meridian, Mississippi, where we were living. His family called me up and said he was in such bad condition. Please come to the hospital, and went to the hospital. He was in the intensive care, and we had a prayer, and in that prayer I said, God, he's in your hand. We're praying that your will be done. We know if it's your will, he'll get better. And I can just tell you afterwards, his mother came up to me and said that she's glad that we said that prayer. She felt like that she could accept it because she believed that God heard the prayer. It's hard to forget something like that. David said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord, of the Lord our God. It wasn't too long ago Tom was teaching us about Solomon. And you remember reading about his chariots and his stables? If you have a Haley's handbook on the Bible, he's got a picture in the handbook where they have unearthed his stables. In my judgment, that's what he trusted in. And turned away from God. David said, not me. I don't trust in those chariots. I don't trust in those horses. Then I just remember God. Psalm 34:6, and we could quote the entire psalm if we had time. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That brings us down to verse 9. David comes back to the wicked and he says, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. I would understand this to say that in his experience, he had a lot of people fail him. Some of the people, just ordinary kind of common people, it's called low degree. James uses that expression in contrast to the rich and the wealthy and the powerful. So he said they're vanity, and those in the high degree, they're a lie. He was deceived by those close to him, those in power. He thought he was deceived by all of them. They tried to deceive him. But in Psalm 118:8-9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Haley and others point out that the center verse in the Bible, in our translation, is Psalm 118 and verse 8. Could you pick a better one? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Then in Psalm 62:10, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. This was the teachings and the wisdom of a righteous man. Trust not in oppression. Well, if this was done during the time, this was prayed during the time of Absalom's rebellion, David was king, and he could have oppressed people. We have people in our society that oppress the poor and the needy and the helpless, and they take advantage of them, and they're not all on the political scene. That's no doubt. He says, you don't do that. And he said, you don't go to resort to robbery. We have people that, in order to get more wealth, they want to rob. They want to cheat people. But this, again, I've highlighted, in my estimation, whatever it's worth, this is one of the most important statements in the Bible. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. He said, you don't trust in your riches. Matter of fact, they're kind of fearful when you think about it. We do need to do a lot of praying. Paul writes Timothy and says, but they that will be rich should not be our desire. We desire to do better is all right, but not to be rich. Fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I like the statement, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. In Proverbs 16 and 8, Solomon said, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. We come down to our last two verses, and these go together. You have three things that are said about God. This is his conclusion. It says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. There are two ways that that can be explained. And the one way is that he had heard this not just one time, but twice. You know, you learn by repetition, correct? There are six factors in learning, and we're not going to preach on tonight, but I can tell you one of them is repetition. And then there's another way of looking at it, and that is that everything that God said, he heard, but he heard it twice. You can come here and hear the whole sermon, hear every sermon, and hear it and never hear it in your heart. I know that would be true regardless of the passage. Well, what was it that was so important? That power belongeth unto God. James talks about the poor that are rich in faith. They don't have the power down here in this world. You work all your life, you're not the ones in power and position, but God is. And that's what he said, power belongs to God. Jesus said, all power, and I like that word. It can be translated authority, but I would translate it, of course I'm ignorant, but I would translate just like they did, all power. Is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, everybody, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That brings us to the last verse. Don't forget the power of God. That's what David trusted in, God's power. Why could he trust in it? Verse 12, also unto thee, O Lord. Now I've got something else I'm going to add. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. And I would call that God's righteous judgment. So you have God's power, God's mercy, and God's righteous judgment. And I know I'm not going to be the judge on the earth or the final day. You're not going to be the judge on the final day. But I can assure you that that's going to be the God that's going to judge everybody. And he will make no mistakes. In Psalm 103 and 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. In Psalm 86 and verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You get that? God is good, God is ready to forgive, and God is plenteous in mercy. So I'm going to ask you tonight, if you believe that, why would you not become a Christian? If you're not a child of God. Is it that complicated that the one that has all power said you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which means by the authority of God? Other places said Jesus Christ or the Lord. God's authority is behind that. If you're not a Christian, he's ready to forgive. The question is, are you ready to obey? If you're not a child of God and you understand the Scriptures, you come to the Lord. Tonight may be the only night that you have to prepare for eternity. If you're an erring child of God, the same is true of you. If you need to come home, you come home to the Lord as we stand and as we sing.